Hey, and welcome to another episode of the Learn to Code with Me podcast. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford, and today's episode is all about learning to code as a parent. But first, a quick word about this episode's wonderful sponsors. Data science and machine learning are the two fastest growing careers in tech. If you want to become a well-rounded data scientist, Flatiron School's online data science immersive can get you there. Start learning for free with their data science bootcamp prep course at flatironschool.com/learn-to-code-with-me. I just published a new website and I wanted a short, relevant, and secure domain name for it. That's why I chose a .tech domain. .tech domains are perfect for all things tech, your portfolio, your passion project, or your business. To get 90% off your .tech domain, head on over to go.tech/learn-to-code. Hey, listeners. In today's episode, I talk with Christina Gorton. Christina's a self-taught creative coder and instructor who works remotely from Costa Rica. She was a stay-at-home mom for 5 years before transitioning into tech, and she actually landed her first tech job after just 9 months of learning how to code. I reached out to Christina because I know a lot of you are parents or have full-time jobs or studies or other commitments that mean you're short on time. I thought it would be helpful and inspiring to hear from someone who's made that transition from a similar situation. In our conversation, we talk about making time to learn to code, what it's like to work remotely, and creative coding. Enjoy. Hey, Christina, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, Laurence, I'm really excited to talk to you today. Thank you for having me.
Yes, and you were recommended to me as a possible guest. This was actually a few months ago, and I remember I kept your name written down in a spreadsheet because I was told you have like a really interesting story and a really interesting background. So I'm so excited to talk to you and have you share your journey with me and everyone else who's listening.
Yeah, I'm glad that you had me on here. I'm excited to talk more about it. I definitely think it helps other people kind of in a similar situation. So I'm excited.
Yes. So I want to start off by talking a bit about how you first got into tech. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you were a stay-at-home mom for 5 years before becoming interested in technology. I would love to hear more about that and what prompted you to learn to code.
Yeah. So before I had my kids, I was kind of an odd job. So I worked as like a housekeeper at a retirement home. I worked as a nanny, a health food store, different things like that. And I was going to school for education. I wanted to teach Spanish online. I had lived in Costa Rica previously with my husband who grew up here back and forth. And I wanted to do that. But when I had my first daughter, I stopped school at my last semester and I just stayed home with her. And then the next kid that I have four kids now. But when I got into coding, I had my third child. And at that time, my husband and I had always been looking for a way to kind of be able to work from home, but still be able to support our kids. So his father actually is the one that suggested coding, and neither of us really took it seriously. Neither of us thought we could get into tech really. My husband's also learning. He's been learning ever since I got a job so that he could learn now too. And I got into it just kind of pushed, nudged a little by my father-in-law. And my husband was also kind of getting really sick at the job he had. And I wanted to just find a way to be able to work so that he could take some time off.
Awesome. And I feel like you have a lot of experience working remote. Have you, since you transitioned into tech, have all of your positions been remote?
Yes, they have. So all my positions so far have been remote. Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. We'll have to get into that more later on. I don't want to jump too far ahead because I'd love to hear about how you taught yourself how to code initially.
Yeah, so I was living with my family in Kentucky. We were kind of in a rural area and we didn't really have much of a connection there. We didn't have Wi-Fi at all. I had 3G on my phone, and so I could use phone apps. And so I was doing that at first, just kind of using apps that I found and then going to the library, and I used Free Code Camp. And that's how I got into coding at first was going through free code camp. And then when we finally were able to get kind of satellite Wi-Fi at our house, I got kind of stuck on free code camp at the JavaScript area. And I found a group called Daily CSS Images. And you would, every day, you would create an image out of CSS. And I just kind of dived into CSS more at that point. And that community, plus the, I'm not sure if you've heard of the 100 Days of Code community, I kind of went along with that as well. And so every day I would spend about an hour, because that's the only time I really had, was I could muster about an hour in between kids. And so I would spend about an hour learning some new area in CSS and then applying it to an actual project.
That's really cool. So we've definitely heard of Free Code Camp. We have had Quincy on the show before and lots of others who have used Free Code Camp in various ways or contributed to the community. We've also had, I forget what season, we'll have to link you in the show notes, but the creator of the 100 Days of Code movement, community, whatever you want to call it, on the show as well. So we're definitely familiar with that. I haven't heard of Daily CSS Images though, but that sounds really neat. So is that like a website or is that kind of like a Twitter community similar to the 100 Days of Code?
Yeah, so it kind of went around the same time as 100 Days of Code. I think 100 Days of Code, like second round is what I was kind of on when he like launched it in like 2017 and like January. There was like a big like everyone get together and do this. And at the same time, his name is Mike. I think it's Mangiolardi. If I'm saying that wrong, I'm sorry, Mike. But he also on Twitter was doing a hashtag Daily CSS Images. And we would post everything on CodePen. And he would create collections every week, and we would have collections of all of our CSS art, and all of us were kind of encouraging each other to just keep going and building new things and kind of like expanding what we could do with CSS and the art there. So
awesome. So you were learning about an hour a day, you said, at this time, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I have to know, like, what was this like while you were also raising children? And I think you said you had three at the time, maybe four. How did you find the time and energy to do all this?
I think like any parent, you don't have energy, but you manage anyway. So my kids were all young. My oldest right now is seven. So at the time, I had three kids. I started learning to code a little after my third was born. And kind of when I would be nursing him, I would be, you know, on the phone app trying to learn some code, or, you know, reading articles in between and just trying to figure it all out. It definitely takes a lot. I think, I mean, anyone, whether you're a parent or not, you gotta stay motivated and you have to just kind of keep going. And for me, I just really wanted this for my family. So I just kind of kept motivated with it. And I think the little wins, like especially in the communities of 100 Days of Code and CSS Images, and having those little wins kind of kept me motivated. Like Mike with CSS Daily Images or Daily CSS Images, he would like pick people's images. And then I started getting some of my stuff picked on CodePen, and just kind of things like that would kind of keep me going, having those little wins. So I think that was definitely motivating. And despite being very tired, it kept me going.
Yeah, I love that. And you definitely had a really strong why, right? Like doing this for your family and all of that. So that's really awesome to hear. And is there any other advice that you could offer to people listening that are parents as well that are trying to learn?
Yeah, I would say don't be scared to take it slow. I think a lot of times, especially you get in the tech community, you might see someone who's like coding for 8 hours a day and, you know, getting a job within 2 months. Or I think you have to be okay with the fact that you're going to have some slow progress when you have kids, and every little bit counts. And just that 1 hour a day, I mean, just learning 1 hour a day built over and over and over and over in time, I got a job within 9 months. So I think being okay with like taking it slow is the biggest thing, because we just don't have all the time in the world to do, you know, learn code.
Yeah, I love that. There's some quote, I always think of these and I can't remember them exactly, but it's something about how like sometimes, basically it's just a quote about how slow progress is actually better in some ways because it gives you more time to like reflect and kind of, if you think of like the, like how a tree is planted and there's like roots in the soil and it happens kind of below the surface. And it may take for some trees or plants, right? Like months or years, and then it starts to sprout. I'll have to try to find it maybe and add it to the show notes later. But I love that wisdom that you shared there. But you said you got a job after 9 months of only learning an hour a day, which is insanely impressive to me. Could you tell me a bit about what that first job was and how you got it?
Yeah, so I didn't think at all that I was ready. So I'll definitely say that. And I do feel like I was very lucky in getting a job so early on. I saw the job on Codepen job board. It was for working for an agency. The agency is called Gravity Works. They're out of Michigan, and some of their team's remote, some of them aren't. And I just, you know, I kind of read through what they were wanting. I didn't know Drupal at the time. So Drupal, similar to WordPress. I didn't know Drupal at the time, but they built Drupal sites mainly. And they were looking for someone who could do a lot of CSS and HTML. And so that's kind of the job. I was like, well, I can do that. I'm doing CSS. I can do that. And so I tried to make myself stand out a little. I took their website. So they had a job section, like, you know, what we're looking for. And I took that and I kind of put myself into it. So I redid their website. I put my image in there. I kind of like changed around some of the stuff that they had on there and just kind of said like what it would be like working with me. And I think that kind of stood out a little to them. And they joked around later on that I kind of stalked them. So I knew a lot about them. I learned a lot about them. I tried to kind of appeal to them because I was a mom who had been home for 5 years and I didn't really have a job, like, you know, a good resume. So for me, that was my way to stand out. And, you know, they called me back, I interviewed, and I got it.
Wow, that's amazing. Is that, so the like website you put together, is that something that was online that you sent to them?
Yeah, I think at the time I put it on Search, I think it's called. I just like pushed it up and sent it to them, and so that they could take a look at it as my resume, because my resume was pretty puny at the time.
Oh, that's really awesome. So like instead of sending the resume cover letter or whatever else they asked, you just kind of made this unique website that looked like their company website, but it was custom to like you and your background and experience, and you sent it over to them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is it still online?
It might be. I'd have to look. It doesn't look anything like their website now because they've redone their website. They have a beautiful new website since I've been there. But I think it is. Someone had wrote about it on Medium because they saw that I had done that, and then they did something similar and they got a job that way as well. So it might still be online somewhere.
Yeah. So I don't want to veer too far off, but I know a few others that have done something kind of similar, like they've made like a custom landing page or something for a specific job they were going after and sent it to like a hiring manager or like a executive at the company, and they sort of like surpassed the traditional application process by doing that. But you know, for what it's worth, I know it would take them like 10 hours or something to put that together. So it's definitely a lot of effort to stand out, but could totally be worth it, as obviously it was for you because you ended up getting that position. Awesome. So how long were you working there then what was it, Gravity Labs?
Gravity Works.
Gravity Works. Okay.
I was there about a year. I had a really good team. I mean, I'll admit, like I said, I'm surprised I got the job at first. I did not realize how much went into just, you know, being on a team, getting a whole website together. I had actually never built a whole website before I got the job, besides, you know, the little website I put together for them. I had always done like little things on Codepen. And so I was with a very gracious team, I'll say that. So working remotely as a new person, I was on a team that was very kind and willing to answer all my questions, and they definitely helped me a ton to succeed.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so you're working remote. You said you were in Kentucky when you first started learning to code. Were you still in Kentucky during this time?
Yeah, so I was. Our internet had gotten better. So I could the majority of time work at home. A lot of times I had to work at coffee shops because my internet just wasn't that great. And we did conference calls and things like that. But yeah, I was still in Kentucky at that time.
Cool, cool. Because I know that all, as you said, all your positions have been remote and it's been deliberate. What advice do you have to folks listening for looking for remote positions?
At this point now that I've done it several times, I would say you definitely, if you're junior, you want to look for a team that's going to be willing to communicate really well with you and be okay with you asking lots of questions, because you will have lots of questions. And if you're not more junior, I would still say you want a good team that can communicate well. So I've worked on like teams that are fully remote, and I've worked on teams that are only partially remote, and it is a big difference in the way they approach kind of remote work. And so as long as you have a team that's good at communicating, I think it's definitely a good way to work. I mean, it works well for me as a parent. I can be home. The teams I've worked with have been very like kind, and if I need to, you know, run out real quick and help one of my kids that got hurt or something like that, like I've always been on teams that have been completely okay with that, and that's what I look for when I look for a remote team.
Sit tight, podcast listeners. We're taking a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. How would you like to launch your career in what Harvard Business School calls the sexiest job of the 21st century? Data scientist and machine learning engineer jobs are the two fastest growing careers in all of tech. Since 2012, there's been a whopping 650% growth in data science jobs alone. Flatiron School's online data science immersive teaches a tried and true data science curriculum designed to make sure you graduate as a well-rounded data scientist. If you're looking to change careers, what better way than by learning from top instructors using real-world tools and working with your very own career coach to get the job search skills you need to land the job. You can even take this course alongside your current work commitments, full-time, part-time, or self-paced. The choice is yours. Since 2012, Flatiron School has helped more than 3,000 students launch new careers in tech. Become one of them by taking their free data science bootcamp prep course. Just go to flatironschool.com/learn-to-code-with-me. My team and I have just published a brand new ebook called 28 Ways to Earn a Side Income While Learning How to Code. For this resource, we wanted to pick a domain name that was short, relevant, and most importantly, secure. We decided to go for a .tech domain, sidegig.tech. We believe .tech domains are perfect for all things tech. We found out some really big names also use .tech domains, including the Consumer Electronics Show at CES.tech, Intel's Internet of Things portal at Insight.tech, and even tech thought leaders like Austin Evans. Whether it's for your passion project, your startup, or your portfolio, I recommend securing your .tech domain ASAP. Learn to Code with Me listeners can get a limited time 90% discount on 1 in 5 year domains. Just head on over to go.tech/learn-to-code and use the coupon code Learn to Code. I'd love to hear which domain you go for. Tweet me at learncodewithme to let me know. Awesome. And I'd love to hear more about what you've been doing more recently and your more recent tech jobs that you've had after this one at GravityWorks.
Yeah. So right after GravityWorks, I worked on a contract job for a little while doing animations. So I did SVG and GreenSock animations for a tech company. And then after I had my fourth, they kind of didn't need me anymore. And so I got a job more recently with Design Code. And so they teach not just designers, but it's geared towards designers learning to code. And I've been creating courses for them.
Design Code. What's the URL for that?
Designcode.io, I believe. I want to make sure I say that right.
All right. Cool. So you've been...
Yeah, designcode.io.
So you've been helping them create courses?
Yep. Yes. So I just launched one that was a CSS layout and animations course.
That's really awesome. So how did you kind of transition into like being a developer to teaching others how to, learn these skills or do these things?
I would think one of the biggest kind of things I've done the whole time as a developer has been to just kind of share as I've been learning. So I've shared on the CodePen community a ton. I've shared on Twitter a ton. And at some point, Skillshare actually got in contact with me and asked me to do a course for them. And at the time, I was still learning a lot and kind of felt a little weird about it, but I did it and it did well. And I think it's been important for me to realize that we're all in different places and we're all learning. And I know something someone else doesn't, someone else knows something I don't, and we can all learn from each other. So just being open to teaching others while you're still learning has been a big transition for me, and I think a good thing.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And what I love about like your background or your or what you do in particular is that you really specialized in like CSS, animations, and creative coding. Growing up or before you got into this, were you always like a creative or artistic kind of person?
I would say I geared towards more creative stuff. So I was really into, when I became a parent, I got more into like sewing and crocheting and things like that because I wanted to make stuff for my kids. And for me, I like drawing. I'm not great at it, but I enjoy, you know, I do it just for enjoyment and, you know, writing and things like that. I've always liked that kind of stuff. So I've always geared towards that more. And for me with coding, when I got into like the CSS images and things like that, it just clicked better for me. That was just my style of learning. If I wanted to learn something new, I usually tried to make it in some kind of creative way. If I was doing like a to-do list, it was probably going to be a more fancy to-do list than you typically see or things like that. Just because while the tutorials that are, you know, plainer are really good and they give you the good information, for it to stick for me and for me to be interested in it, I needed to make it more interesting.
And have you found that specializing in the creative coding, has that helped you stand out more in your, just like your jobs throughout the years? Or has it been, I don't know, has it not really made that much of a difference?
It didn't until more recently. So it was, I think it was a really good thing for a long time because I didn't have like a ton of like JavaScript or, you know, more of those kind of programming languages. Like I was more iffy on those. The kind of jobs that I had kind of came to me. So when I worked with the SVG animations, they kind of approached me and asked me if I'd do it because they saw my CodePen and things like that. This last round of interviews before Design Code also, they saw my CodePen and they came to me and asked me too if I'd work with them. But when I was going through all the interviews the last time, I think specializing kind of hurt me a little bit in some of the companies that I applied for because they didn't necessarily see that I could do all these other things as well. I think now at this point, I do understand a lot more JavaScript. I do know how to build websites and things like that. And so it's not just that specialization, but because that's been my focus and what you see on like my CodePen or my portfolio and things like that, I think it did count against me a little bit with a lot of companies.
Yeah, I think it's just also really cool that you've had so much opportunity come from your CodePens. I'm not sure if I ever had anyone on the show before that, or maybe I have, maybe I'm just forgetting. We've done like over 100 110 interviews now. So, and some of them were a while ago. But when you first started contributing and putting things up on CodePen, did you realize like where it would take you like years from then?
You know, it's funny. I laugh about it now because when I was in the, I can't find it anymore, but when I was in the Free Code Camp community, I had posted because I wanted to apply for some random job I think I saw, and I didn't have like a portfolio up at the time. And I was just like, well, maybe I should send my CodePen. And someone was like, no, that is a horrible idea. People will laugh at you. You do not use your CodePen. And now I see it all the time. Like people are like, send us your CodePen, you know? And I just stuck with it. For me, like CodePen was like, well, you can see my code right there. You can see the visual of it. I mean, despite like, you know, GitHub, you can pull everything down. You can see the code, but it's all right there. People can see it. And I just stuck with it. And that's what I usually send or usually send people to if they want to know more about me is my CodePen. So I don't think I had like the idea that it would be such like a so useful in getting careers, but I definitely stuck with it and it has been super useful for me.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I mean, it makes a ton of sense. And also, I think you mentioned you had some of your code pens featured like on like the front page or in like higher up on the site so more people could discover it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they have a thing called Picked Pins. And so the different people at CodePen and a few other people who have been kind of like a big community of CodePen can pick your pins and they'll be on the front page. And then sometimes your pins can also go into their newsletter that they have, I think monthly or maybe it's every week. It might be weekly actually. Yeah, you can get your stuff picked and then everyone who goes on CodePen will see your things and they can like them or comment on them and kind of give you advice and stuff.
Yeah. So I would love to transition a little and hear just about what your day looks like today because you're working, you're teaching, right? You're helping others with your CodePens and other things. And you're also a mother of four. Yeah, like what does your day look like?
I'll say off the bat, because people ask me this all the time, how do you work at home when you have four kids? I have an amazing husband who is the one who actually for this podcast here took them all out in the car and they're driving around going and doing some things together so I could do this podcast. I mean, I have amazing support from him. So I would say that's one of the biggest things because people are always like, how are you doing this as a mom? I'm like, oh, I probably couldn't do it as well without him. So I definitely have to give props to my husband for that. And I mean, daily, I do, I've been having to slowly teach my kids that depending on what I'm doing, if I'm in a meeting or, you know, if I'm really in, you know, working on something hard, they can't just, you know, run into my office and ask me questions. They got to ask daddy. I think it's ingrained in, you know, my kids that, you know, ask mommy or ask daddy. And a lot of times they want to ask me something. And so we work around that. But my day to day is basically, you know, I wake up, we all get ready in the morning. I nurse my daughter, my youngest one, and then I just start working, and throughout the day, I interact with them still, and I'm able to do that with my current job, so it works out fine. But, you know, if I'm really having to focus on something, then I lock my office and tell them to go ask daddy for help. So that's usually my day.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier, I believe, that your husband is learning to code now or has been for some time, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of going through the same struggle right now that I went through, is that, you know, he's got the kids all day, but he's still trying to learn too. So he's trying to find those little bits of time to learn as well. And he's doing a really good job. So definitely impressed with him.
I mean, it's also, it's great that he has like you, right? Cause you've already gone through it. You're at your third job now, like your third tech job or so.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, awesome just to have you there, I'm sure, as like a resource and you know, what you went through and you've kind of done it already. So yeah, that's really awesome. And before we started recording, you mentioned that you're currently living in Costa Rica. I would love if you could just talk a little bit about that, because that I've been to Costa Rica. It was a while ago, but I know so many people who travel there all the time and like absolutely love it.
Yeah. My husband and I were always into just kind of, well, I wasn't. I grew up in the same place. It's near the Space Center. I grew up in the same place for 18 years until my husband and I got married. And then we traveled around a lot. We hitchhiked around the States. We lived in Costa Rica for a little bit. He grew up going back and forth from Florida to Costa Rica most of his life. And so when we finally had a way to afford living here, which is what tech kind of did for us, being a remote worker and just being able to have the pay to stay here, we decided to bring the family here. And we came last November. I had my daughter here in February. So she's actually a Tika, which is what they call Ticos or Tikas. So she is a citizen here. We're not, but we are living here right now. And we love it. We love Costa Rica. We love the people. We love where we're at. And, you know, it's a lot of fun having my kids learn Spanish and English and being able to communicate with, you know, different people and a different culture. And it's been really great for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. And when you're working remotely, Does it matter, like, that you're living outside the United States or not really because you're still a United States citizen? I'm kind of thinking more like along the lines of like logistical stuff, like, I'm blanking, the taxes and all that.
It depends on the company. It definitely depends. Like when I was interviewing, that was something that came up a lot. So some of them, it was just, hey, you need to be a U.S. citizen so we don't have to deal with the visa stuff and we can still do the taxes. I think I mentioned this to you before we started recording that I just got another job offer with Lambda School, and that was kind of their initial concern was like, oh, wait, are you in Costa Rica? You can't be on our taxes. And I'm like, no, I'm still a U.S. citizen. You know, I have an address in Florida. And so that worked out fine, but it really depends on the company. The company I work for right now, they're out of Canada and they have people all over the world. And so it wasn't a big deal to them that I was in Costa Rica.
Got it. Yeah. That makes sense because if you're still a citizen, that's an area I don't know a lot about as far as like the visas and the taxes and all of that, but glad that's been able to work out for you. So I would love to sort of just like wrap things up. If you could tell us or share any advice you have about people getting started learning to code and just to motivate and inspire people, especially those maybe who are in a similar situation as you were, like that where or stay at home moms for a few years and then trying to get back into, you know, like the workforce.
Yeah. I would say for me, the biggest help was finding a community. So I definitely joined a lot of tech communities early on. They were people I felt safe, you know, asking questions to. I had a lot of dumb questions, you know, not dumb, but, you know, people consider maybe dumb questions at the beginning. I didn't know anything really, like even creating new files and things like that was just kind of over my head at first. And so having a community of people that I could ask these questions to and then share my progress. So sharing my progress is scary for a lot of people, but I think it's been a huge help for me and it's definitely helped me grow quicker. As a developer, just being able to get feedback from people and just kind of putting my work out there, whether it's perfect or not, has been a big help in helping me grow. And people see that, and being able to communicate well as well has been a huge help. So making sure you communicate well, that you share your progress if you're comfortable with it, that you have a good community, because you definitely need it. I think especially parents know that you can feel lonely a lot of times. You're just, you know, you're with your kids. You may not have as much contact with your friends as you used to. So having some kind of community to encourage you in the coding, and then just, like I said earlier, go little by little and that it will add up.
Awesome. Love that. There's one last thing I wanted to ask that I forgot to earlier. So you said you'll be working at Lambda School soon. By the time this episode airs, I believe you'll already have started because it won't be airing for several weeks. What are you going to be doing at Lambda School?
I'm going to be so they have different tracks. I'm going to be a web developer instructor. So I'll be teaching the web development track.
That's so cool. Are those courses live?
Yes. So every day I will be live for about 2 hours. As far as I know, as the structure right now, I'll be live for about 2 hours instructing on something. And then they have like group projects and things that they do back and forth within Slack and different resources like that. So yeah, I will be recording live every day.
Awesome. That's so exciting. And I wish you the very best of luck as you start that new chapter in your life. It sounds perfect for you because it combines web development and helping others. Mm-hmm. And where can people find you online?
Oh, I'm definitely in the tech community. I'm online on Twitter at CoffeeCraftCode. Same on Instagram. I am now blogging on the dev community as well. So you can probably find me on there if you search Christina Gorton. I'm just all over.
Awesome. Thank you again for coming on.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed talking to you today.
That's our show. Thanks for tuning in. For a recap or to browse through other episodes and show notes, head on over to learntocodewith.me/podcast. If you like tech-related content like this podcast, make sure to sign up for my email list. You can do so easily right on the homepage at learntocodewith.me. There's a big sign-up form right at the top. I'll send you new blog posts, tell you about time-limited course deals, and much more. It was great to have you with me today. Join me next week for another episode.
Thank you.